Everybody, welcome to Legacy Sunday. Legacy Sunday, we've been praying for this day for the last several weeks, so good to have you here this morning. And this is a day that Sunday a year that we come and, man, we just give a gift to the Lord. How many know Christmas is all about Jesus? Always will be, forever will be. Amen, everybody. And so on this Christmas season, giving a gift on his birthday, far beyond us. And so I'll talk to you more about that in a few minutes. But I want to encourage you of just a couple things happening to be a part of and around here and what's going on with our church. And on December the 24th, we have our Christmas Eve services. We're calling it an Elevate City Christmas, where we'll have candlelight services in this. And I just want you to be aware of the date so you can prepare. We will not have Christmas Day services, all right? So we just encourage you to be at home with your family, enjoy, but we will have Christmas Eve. And so our times are right now at 3 p.m. and 5 p.m. We will have our kids ministry will also be available for birth up to kindergarten, and all the older kids, we're encouraging for you as mom and dad to keep them in here with you, and because our production and our worship team are working really hard. It's going to be, man, just a little bit of some things that we've never done, and some of your favorite Christmas type carols will be sung on this night as well, but it's going to be powerful, and it's going to be awesome. Going to be a great time together. We've never done Christmas Eve services, so this is our first time as a young church. Really excited to do this, and a big thing that we're doing that we need your help with, and that is this, is we have online and on the app, you can register and get, and this is free, obviously, tickets, so we know how many people to that we can be expecting in our services, because if both our 3 and 5 p.m. services fill up quick, we will then prepare, and we are already prepared to open up the next service at 1 p.m., so right now, 3 and 5 p.m., but we need you to register. So here's what I'm asking you to do. You can go on the app, again, go online, and you'll see the Christmas option on there, and so you can go and do that. Talk to your family this week, but please do it sooner than later. All right, everybody? And so I know we'll forget. So if you do it while you're thinking about it, you'll get it done, and it'll help our team greatly to know what we can expect, because we've got some really cool things that are planned on Christmas Eve. I'm excited about Christmas Eve. Y'all excited about that? Hopefully you are. All right, it's going to be amazing. Going to be just a fun time together as well. Next week, everybody say next week. My good friend, one of my overseers, Pastor Rob Yanok, will be back with us. If you've never heard Pastor Rob, man, I'm telling you, get here. He's not only real funny, but man, he always brings such just an awesome message and word. And we had him in the Christmas season last year, and I just told him, he brings a great message during this time of year. So I just asked him to be with us. So you don't want to miss next week. It's going to be good. I'm looking forward to hearing him, and it's going to be awesome. And then I want to let you know the following Sunday, because I forgot to mention this in 8:30 service, and I want to make sure I'm on it in these two services, and that is on December the 18th, is we were having just normal flow type services, but a time of communion as well as a church as we prepare for Christmas, so you won't want to miss that. And then lastly, I know a lot happening, January 1st, we're going to launch a brand new series called Living in Freedom, and then we also will begin our 21 days of prayer and fasting. And so on that message, I'll prepare you for what that's going to look like and this series that is starting. It's going to be amazing, and we are excited about that. And so, but legacy, I've hoped over the last few weeks you've learned some things, but ultimately applied some things in your life as we continue to grow together in the things of God, because I know this, that we all desire, I believe, something within every one of us to leave a legacy. We want to make sure our life counts for something and that we've made an impact. Amen, everybody? And I think that's the heartbeat of every person in here, that you want to know that your life has made some kind of difference. And so we've there's an opportunity that we've just come, again, one Sunday a year, that we give a gift to the Lord and above our normal tithe. And this is not about need. This is about great vision that we have as a church. And so we just have made the decision that we want to touch the lives of people in many different ways. And so we want to be a part of the solution. And there's obviously just something very powerful about this season that reflects the very heart of God as it relates to giving and being a blessing. And so here's what I know. There's always more vision than there is resource. There's things that we could do if. But here's the other side of things. I know that we don't have to do anything. We don't have to do nothing. But how many know that as God continues to bless us, that we're called to be a blessing and to bless other people? Amen, church? And so it's important. And so we've just made the decision. That's why we gave this date well ahead of time, many weeks out, because I just don't believe in pressuring and manipulation and all that stuff when it comes to finances and money. And just we don't do that here. We don't lead that way here. And so we've given this date ahead of time just for you to go to the Lord, ask him what he would have for you to do, and just be obedient to that and do it. And so we will move at the pace of your generosity as a church, and that's how we lead here, all right? 2 Corinthians 9:7 says this, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. So over the last several weeks, our prayer has been that, man, that you go to the Lord, and you know, Bethany and I have done that ourselves, and we have asked God, and we've made a decision. And so we're going to do that, and we did that, and not reluctantly, meaning don't be a Scrooge about it, all right, or under compulsion, meaning don't give under pressure, all right, or any of that sort of thing, for God loves a cheerful giver. And so our hope is that there is no ask today. Our hope is that we recognize the opportunity before us and that we have an attitude of we get to give. We get to be a part of what God is doing and whatever it is that you've prepared just to move forward with that. And so what I want to do just for the next couple of minutes, because I've told you in this series I was going to do this on this Sunday, is highlight how your generosity, our generosity as a church, is literally changing lives and making an impact. And so we as a church are a generous church, and we believe, first of all, our obligation is to our city and to make a local impact. How many know we need to take care of our city and be a blessing to Fort Wayne? Amen, everybody. And so how we do that is our ministry partnerships. And honestly, I'm again highlighting, there's so much information, so I'm trying to do my best with this today, but we partner with different organizations and ministries locally, some of them that help feed the hungry of our city. That's something that we give into as a church. Also, giving into helping those that are in poverty and helping to reach those families that are in poverty and being partnered with great ministries that are doing that, and as well as helping those that are dealing with homelessness as well and being a blessing there, and as well into our local schools. So locally, this is how we're making an impact. Our generosity as a church is moving in our city. And what we get to do this week, though, because a portion of the legacy offering is going to go in other ministries and organizations that we aren't partnered with right now. And this is research that we and our team have already done. We've done the hard work for you. And so whatever it is that you decide, we're going to take that this week, and we're going to show up at some of these ministries and organizations with a check. They have no idea that we're coming, just to let them know that there's the people from Elevate City Church appreciate, love them, believe in them, keep doing what they're doing. They've already got boots on the ground doing a great job. And man, we just want you to know we back you. And there's a local church in Fort Wayne, man, that just isn't, we're not just talking about it, but here, we want to be a blessing as well. Amen, everybody? And I think that's pretty exciting, by the way. I think it's going to be fun when we show up. And so our hope next week is we've got that film on camera to show you, all right, the impact and what that's going to make. So it's going to be really awesome. The other thing that your generosity is doing, it's going into national missions. One of the most strategic things that I think that we are doing is giving, first of all, into ARC, which is a church planting organization, which is helping to plant new life-giving churches, and let me say, healthy churches all over this nation. Well over 600 churches now have been planted. We are averaging a little bit over 100 churches a year that are being planted, and I'm honored to sit on the team as a coach. I help to coach and mentor young pastors and their wives who are starting churches, and it's, I'm telling you, it's an honor for us as a church, and you may not have known it, but we at times, and we have a few more couples that are coming the next few months that are coming here and just learning from you, and learning this church planting venture out so they can go and hopefully be successful in Jesus' name in their cities across America. So, and let me just say this as well. These churches that are being birthed and that are starting have seen so many people come to Jesus. I'm telling you, cities are being shaken for the glory of God, and people are being won for Jesus, everybody. And so you're a part of that. Your generosity is making a difference and helping that right here in our nation. So thank you. Thank you so much. A portion of our giving as a church goes into the LA Dream Center. We just had a team come back from our short-term missions trip there in Los Angeles. And you may look at that and think, man, why are we giving in the Los Angeles? We need to give here. Well, let me tell you something, because what's happening at the LA Dream Center is going beyond Los Angeles. They are now the nation's largest outreach center. And I'm telling you, a move of God is happening. And our team witnessed it. We had a few of our team members last week just share some testimonies of how God moved in their life and how some things that we're grabbing a hold of some vision for our own city here with a Dream Center one day. And so, man, just seeing God not only move through that in our nation, but even parts of the world that the LA Dream Center is reaching. And so it's an honor to be a part of that. And then lastly is Grow Network. And with Church of the Highlands, one of the things that I'm passionate about, and I think is so important, that we help and continue to help churches and pastors and leaders across this nation. I don't know if you know this, but there's a stat that 1,700 ministers are leaving the ministry every month, never to return. So there's a lot of unhealth that is going on within our nation. Churches are closing their doors more at a rapid rate than we've ever seen. And so we are honored as a church to be with a tribe like ARC and Grow that is helping pastors, leaders, and churches to be life-giving, but to be healthy, everybody, because we want to see people reached in this nation and beyond. And so it's going to take work, but it's also going to take strategically just helping resource and helping these leaders be successful, and you are a part of that. And I love that. I love that we are a part of that. Listen, let me tell you this. Planning a church is hard, and it's not always easy. And leading and continue to go on. And that's why relationships is so vital for you, but also for me. It's a vital thing. So we're trying to help other pastors and leaders continue to grow in that. And then here's the other thing that we love is our international missions as a church. Man, if you're going to love God, you better love what he loves. Amen, everybody. And so some of the things that we're giving into as a church internationally is into Israel. We're called to take care of that. And so not just Israel, but to the gospel of Israel. And so as we work with partnerships over there, we are working with churches and ministries that are reaching people. We have congregations over there, Elevate, that are Palestinian and Jewish worshiping together. No, that's awesome, everybody, all right? And so so that's a part of your giving that's making a difference there. Also into helping plant new churches in unreached areas like China, Asia, Europe, all right? So we are working hard to continue to grow that. I'm even looking at some potential trips with some of my mentors and how we can continue to help raise up life-giving churches in those different parts of the areas of the world. And as well as unreached areas specifically, an emphasis on women and children that are in that are being sex trafficked. And so it's just been a big part of my heart really since for many, many years that we make an impact and help rescue these children and women, and it's happening. And so because of your generosity, we are making a difference, Elevate. Now, this is what I want you to see. And then lastly, excuse me, is right here at home, our church here, and excelling the vision. Your generosity is making a difference. And also today, a portion of that legacy offering is two things: into our local community here in different partnerships, but then also into excelling the vision of this church and preparing for what's ahead. And that's a next facility, everybody. All right, praise the Lord. So we're looking that way. Just want you to know, 2017, we're going to begin to get, aggressive in the sense of trying to find some vacant buildings, all right, and trying to see what's out there. And we just want you to know we are serious about seeing God accelerate the vision that's here. And as we opened up our third service just a couple of months ago, we're just seeing God move. And so many questions all the time, and I told you a few weeks ago, what do we do after three services? I don't have an answer. We're just trying to follow God and be obedient, but we just know we got to start preparing. And so in the first week of this series, that's what I just came with you and told you just very honestly, just what I felt in my heart, that we just need to start preparing for what is ahead. And so what you do, I want you to know, allows us to maximize the opportunities that are in front of us. And all of us that are sitting in here are sitting in the sacrifice of somebody else. Yeah, the generations before you really paid and invested in the seats in which we are sitting. And so we thank God for that. One of the other things that's happened just within the last month to let you know, because a lot of people ask, man, where are we at through the week? For those that don't know, we sublease this facility, all right? And so what that means is we have this facility on Sunday, Thursday nights. That's really about it. All right, because there's a school that's here full-time. They have different things that are functioning, and so throughout the day and sometimes the evening, so as you can imagine, it's a little difficult to try to do trainings and team development. So we've been in a two-bedroom house that we've worked out of as a staff for a few years now, and so just about a month ago, man, we got opened up, and we acquired some new office space just right down the road, and that's what it looks like on the front. Yeah, do we have any other pictures? I don't know if we do. Oh, that's inside. So it's like really coming like together slowly but surely. But it's just under 3,000 square feet. Here's the cool thing, is it's allowing us now the opportunity to have trainings, have meetings, and instead of being scrunched up in one living room, and we did it. Let me tell you, we did it. It was uncomfortable, but we did it, all right? And so we did never complain in that series. We were always very thankful. And also, training counseling is already happening. We've been needing a place to help counsel men and women and couples instead of doing it at Starbucks or in the house, because it was just difficult and it was just too small. So it's helping in that regard as well. It's helping with our staff, our administration, as we're growing. So I just want to say, we didn't take up an offering for that. We didn't ask you for anything. You already paid for it. So I just want to say thank you for your generosity, because we're making a difference together. So thank you guys so much. And to God be the glory, everybody. Amen. It's awesome. And so it's because of that, man, lives are already being touched in that way and having more room. So if you're here for the first time, you're wondering what in the world am I doing here and what's going on around here. And so I just want to tell you, let me just explain what's happening today and give you a scripture here. It says this in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 3 beginning. It says, because I have set my heart on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. So notice, man, our heart, that we're in a place that we not only love God, but we love his house, and we love what he's doing, and that we're called to give. And I love the other part, that there's times where God says, man, calls us to give above and beyond. And then it ends this with a question, and this question is not between you and I, it's between you and God, and it just says, who among you is ready and willing to join in the giving? Listen, here's what I know, Elevate, that we are not a great church. We serve a great God. And this is his church, everybody. Jesus is the cornerstone. He is the center of this work. Amen. And so we're excited about that. And so all I've encouraged you to do over the last few weeks is just do exactly what God has said. But I want to be very, very clear on something, that this has nothing to do with money. You are not giving money. You are giving hope. That is exactly what this is about. And so I want you to be confident in that. And I think so much about what's happening with families and people that are being discipled. I shared stats at the beginning of this series to just show you what God is doing in this place just within the last 3 months. We have seen the greatest growth we've ever seen in the history of our church. We've seen the most people discipled we've ever seen in the history of our church. It's just amazing. It's a move of God. There's fruit. Everybody say there's fruit. Thank God for a healthy church. Amen, everybody. It's important. And so one of the families that I love, and they've been here about a year and a half, I think almost 2 years now. I won't name them because I don't want to embarrass them, but they are doing amazing. And I'll never forget this woman when she came to our church with her two sons. And when she came, they all three gave their hearts to Jesus. Then her and her oldest son got baptized together, which I thought was awesome. And then, of course, she couldn't keep in what God was doing. So then she started telling others. And then all of a sudden, she told her mom about what was happening. Mom comes, dad comes, they get saved. Then mom tells brother, brother comes, brother gets saved. So we've got a whole row that's dedicated to this family. Amen, everybody? I think that's pretty awesome. And so, but it's just a small picture of what God is doing. Yeah, and it's exciting. It's exciting to see lives being changed and people going through small groups and people going through the process of discipleship and growing in their relationship with God and excited about Jesus and excited about their church. And I think that's awesome. And so we're so proud of them. We had a woman, bless her heart, it was so awesome. It blessed me right in, first time guest right into the church this week. And man, I wish I could share all the things that we get all the time. You guys would be so blessed by it. But this one really touched my heart because she came by herself and she said, I just wanted to thank this church. She said, as I came for the very first time, I came to the 8:30 service, but she said, I honestly was touched when I first pulled on the parking lot by your guys that serve out there on this team who blessed me and greeted me when I got out of my car. She was like, man, what a start. But she said, then she went inside and she said, then I was greeted again. She said, I got to my seat and I thought, man, I haven't shook that many hands since my wedding reception. Lord have mercy. She said, I felt loved. I felt welcomed. I thought, man, this is great. Then she said, I knew it was 8:30. It was an early service. But then she said, then the worship kicked in and the message. And man, it was full of strength and enthusiasm. It just blessed me so much. She said, and she said at the end of it, she said, you know, I left, but before I left, I did what you guys said to do. I stopped by the hub, got my Starbucks card, and she said, by the way, all of our first time guests love that Starbucks card, all right? And so just a way for us to say thanks. And she was so happy, but she just said this, thank you for being here. Thank you for being in Fort Wayne, but thank you for touching my heart and making a difference in my life. I just wanted you to know you needed to know that. So Elevate, you need to know that God is using you to touch the lives of people every single week. And so here's what I know today, though, and this has been heavy on my heart because I know that December can be a very difficult month for many people. I know that sometimes we've lost loved ones during this time or maybe facing adversity, but how many know our God is greater? Our God is greater. And that's what my prayer is. I know that there's some people even here today that you're going to give hope even if when you don't even feel like you have hope. But I'm believing that's going to turn before you leave this place this morning in Jesus' name. So hope is what? It's the confident expectation hooked on something solid. That no matter what happens in my life, I'm hooked on something solid. I'm anchored. Everybody say, I'm anchored. And you're anchored in Christ. All right? And Hebrews 6:19 says, we have this hope. Everybody say, we have this hope. As an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. You know, my first obligation is not to the city, to the nation, to the world, it's to you. Part of my job is to help Pastor Shepherd point you to Christ, all right, and help equip you for what God has for your life. And so I want to minister something real personal to you today, and I want you to leave here with something, man, in Jesus' name that will impact you, and that is on the power of hope and hope being transformed through your heart to be able to touch the lives of other people in Jesus' name. How many remember the movie? It was actually on TV last night for the first time. You remember the Christmas movie, It's a Wonderful Life? How many remember that? All right, great movie. If you've never seen it, it's old, but it's good. And, you know, it's real high technology because the first class angel is talking to the second class angel in blinking stars, all right? And the first class angel tells the second class angel, hey, man, we got to help out this guy, George Bailey. He's struggling. Like, we need to help him. And the second class angel asks him, he said, well, what's going on? Is he sick? And the first class angel responds, he said, no, it's worse. He's discouraged. And I think the greatest sickness is not the sickness of the body. I think it's the sickness of the soul. That's why they call it dis-ease, because you're not at ease. And you're in a place that I think the most dangerous place, I think one of the most horrific places to be is to be in a place without any hope. Scripture says hope deferred makes the heart sick. And so, and that's why I just am confident that no hope is the worst kind of sickness that you and I can have. But I want to say this to you, and I just want to remind you, man, you guys are making a difference. You really are. And I hope you see this today, that you are touching this city for Jesus, that you are touching your nation, and that you are touching the world around you globally. And I am so thankful to see what God is doing. And we are just getting started. We're a 4-year-old church with a lot of vision. We don't lack vision here, everybody. Let me just tell you, we know where we're going and what God has. And so I just want to say, you need to know you're making a difference. Will you turn to the person next to you and just tell them you're making a difference? You are. Making a difference. And so God has hope for you and I today. And something that you can anchor onto, hang on to, and that whenever the storms of life hit, that you won't be moved because you're anchored, because you know who your God is. You're confident in that hope. You know, for most people, hope is a verb. It's something they do. Kind of like, I hope the Colts win tomorrow night, all right, against the Jets. I know we are struggling this year. I'm tired of losing in Indianapolis. Anyways, I'll get off my soapbox, all right? But for people that know Christ, hope, guess what, is and that follow Christ, hope is something we have. It's a noun. And so my Christmas prayer for our church is this scripture over you, and I just speak this over you in Romans 15, 13. May God, the source of hope, fill you this Christmas season with joy and peace through your faith in him. And then, boy, I like this, then you will overflow with hope. It's interesting to me, in your Bibles, there are five sources of hope. One of them would be enough, there's no question, but I'm confident if all five are implemented in your life, not only will you be filled with hope, but you'll be able to be a blessing and to help fill hope in the lives of other people. And so I want to give this to you before we close up and pray here this morning. First of all, number one, jot this down. Hope is found in God's presence. Man, there ain't nothing like being in the presence of Almighty God. But you want to talk about seeing a shift in your life, a change in your life, get in his presence. Get in his presence. You know, one of the things I pray over you every single weekend, that when you come in here, that there would be a moment, that there would be a second, there would be however long, but just an opportunity that you experience his presence, whether it's on the parking lot like that woman did last week, or maybe it's during worship or a message where you just say, man, God is here. I know he's here. He's talking to me. I know this is for me. God is moving. So I pray that just all the time, constantly over you and to experience, because in the presence of God is where our hearts are transformed. It's where situations all of a sudden begin to take a turn in Jesus' name. And so like many of you, though, that I've had days where I have felt like all hell has broken loose. I've had moments in my life where I've felt like that. I remember one moment where we moved to Fort Wayne here in 2011, and we had come by faith to plant this church in 2012, but it didn't come without a price on so many different levels. But that year specifically was one of the most hardest, difficult years for our family as we moved, and we had three deaths in our family in a matter of just about 9 weeks apart. It was unbelievable. I went through a time of depression, very difficult, very dark time for me. Thank God for relationships and Jesus, everybody, though. And then later in the fall, I got a phone call. I was in the house with Bethany. We were in there, and I got a call from my mom at that time, and she had really been struggling physically, and I'll never forget this because it was very hard, and she had tests and stuff done at the doctor's, and they had told her that she had cancer. And I'll never forget her telling me on the phone that, and afterwards I got off and I just broke. I cried, I just kind of bellied over, and I thought, oh my goodness. And I remember telling Bethany, I said, babe, I need just some time. You know what I did? I said, I gotta talk to God. And so I said, give me some time. So I said, I'm gonna go for a walk. I didn't walk real far. I walked in my front yard. That's all I did. And I walked to the front yard, and I just began to pray. And just begin to talk to the Lord and just get the mind of God and focus, because I want to be a strength and encouragement. But I'm telling you, I walked back in that house, though, determined to kick the devil's butt and to break his neck. And so I got with it in prayer, and so did my family. And some time passed, and found out they misdiagnosed her, everybody. And so that was great news, and we thank God for that. But I'm telling you, it was his presence that when I walked out and walked back in my house, I was confident because I was anchored. I thought, man, I'm not going to be moved. I'm not going to be moved by what's happening. God is in complete control. Psalm 62, 5, it says, yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Listen, you have to know this for you, not just on a Sunday here at church, but to live this out for you in the journey. And, you know, the Bible says his mercies, guess what? They aren't just new every Sunday morning. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Get into the presence of God. Get into his presence. Talk to him. Pray. I'm telling you, there's nothing like it. And if you'll let me in this next season of our church, at the beginning of this year, we're going to begin our new series, but also we're going to begin our 21 days of prayer and fasting. And as your pastor, if you'll let me, I would love to help lead you as close to his presence as we can. And I want to enter this year with you together, looking at 2017, that no matter what comes, we will not be moved, because we're anchored. Amen, everybody? So here's the second thing. Jot it down. Of hope, and that's God's presence, or God's promise, excuse me. God's promise. And I'm not talking, and here's what I am talking about. I'm talking about his word. Get in the word, 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 get in the word. Get in the word, get in the word. Man, if you go on our app, you'll notice there's a part on there that you can icon that just has the Bible. Why? Because as your pastor, I want the Bible in you. I want the word of God in all of us, that we are moving forward, not with our own might, our ideas, our opinions, but his word. Amen? And so, or there's the YouVersion Bible app that you can download, and they have different reading plans. I highly recommend the one-year Bible and get in the word every day. Even if it's just a verse a day, listen to my heart, I'm just telling you, even if it's a verse a day, it'll change your life. Getting that. How many know you got to eat every day? All right, you got to read the Bible every day. Right? You know, I was somebody I was talking to a while back, and they got real frustrated, said, man, Pastor, I started that one-year Bible. Well, man, I haven't read since October. I said, okay, fear not. Just jump back in. It's December. Let's go. Well, I'm frustrated because I got to go back in October and catch up. I said, no, you don't. I said, you don't have to do that. You know, it's if I miss a meal, I'm not going to go eat two meals. You know what I'm saying? I'm just going to eat. Now, some might eat two meals, but you know what I mean? So it's just get the word in you, man. You know what I mean? Just start afresh and keep going. Don't let that religious junk hang on you, all right? Be free of that. Psalm 119:81 says, it's my soul that faints with longing for your salvation, but I have put my hope in your word. Here's the third thing. That's God's process. You know, it's interesting if you read in the scriptures that a lot of time when you see hope, you'll see suffering attached to it. That whatever we're going through, guess what? God is present. When you're in a relationship with Jesus, you're never in a place that he isn't present at. Amen, everybody? And so just know that. And you know, here's God's perspective too. God never looked at you, his church. Never looked at us and said, I want you to be perfect. I want you to have it all together. No, you know what he's looking for? Us to be teachable. Us to be applicable. And to take his scripture, let's not just talk about it, man. Let's apply it and allow it to be the change that we need. So, well, Kyle, I'm just not where I want to be. Well, you may not be where you want to be, but thank God you ain't where you used to be. Amen, everybody? And I'm just telling you and trying to get this stir hope in your heart and in your spirit here this morning. Romans 5 says, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice, look at this, in our sufferings. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. I'm going to run this thing strong for the Lord. Perseverance, character. Character's being more Christ-like. And character, hope. You know, if you go to the gym, you don't go work out for what you look like, but what you want to look like, right? You endure pain so you can have a ripped body like this one, right? You know what I'm saying? Don't laugh so hard. You'll hurt my feelings, all right? But nonetheless, you hopefully get the point. All right, here's the fourth thing. Easy, all right? Yeah, that's God's purpose. God's purpose. You'll find hope in his purpose. Hope comes from the fact that you know why you exist on this earth. And if you've been at Elevate City long enough, you've probably figured us out that everything here in this church points to one thing for you, points us into a relationship with Jesus, and within that points to ultimate discipleship. It's why we have Growth Track. It's why we have small groups and Motion. Discipleship is not just knowing your Bible more. It's part of it, and it's good. I know a lot of people that know the Bible but don't really apply it all the time, all right? And so it's more, it's a part of it, but it's more. Ultimate discipleship is when you know why you exist on this planet. And then taking the word, reading the word, discovering what it is, and then going, growing in that, maturing in that, and then go make a difference with your life. The greatest hope is I know why I'm here. You know, through my toughest seasons that I've walked through in my life, I was always reminded of purpose. Man, can't quit. What I got to go back to? You know, go back to how it used to be? No, thank you. No, we want to do things God's way and fulfill the purpose that he has. And that's why you've heard me say this a lot, hundreds of times. This will probably be 201. I'll say it again. That we don't just, as a church, we don't exist for us, Elevate. We are the church and we exist for the world. And if you're being blessed by everything, say, well, I'm just blessed. Well, I'm glad you're being blessed, but that's not our purpose. Our purpose, God wants to bless us. Don't mistake what I'm saying. But God wants us to go make a difference. The church is not a place for church people. The church is a place to go and make a difference with our lives, everybody. That's what it's about. And so it's why I try to fill us with vision and to tell and to encourage you in the dreams that you have so that we together can go touch the world for the glory of God. We want to be a part of the answer. We want to leave a legacy. We want to make an impact. Amen. You know what real Christianity isn't? Real Christianity isn't about my goosebumps. Real Christianity is about going and making a difference with our life. Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what it's all about, is making a difference. So real hope comes from purpose. I love Jeremiah 29:11. It says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Hope and future are inseparable. Once you know your future, you'll have hope. To have hope, though, you have to know your future. They're inseparable. So get connected in God's presence, his promise. Appreciate the process. Discover purpose. And then I love Titus 2:13, the only time in the New Testament where there's an adjective before hope, and that's the blessed hope. The blessed hope. You know, the American gospel and what's happening has turned this into you have to have it all together and have your stuff all together and accumulate lots of stuff. We ain't living for this earth, though, everybody. This is just not our home. God never, listen, gave us the promise that everything was just going to work out here. And Jesus said, we're going to have trouble, but fear not, he's overcome the world. And so we can trust in him in that. And, you know, I think so much about my grandparents, and I thank God for them. You know, when I was growing up, I remember an old hymn they used to sing to me. Some glad morning, when this life is over, I'll fly away. Some of the older generations know what I'm talking about. The younger saying, where are we flying to? Heaven. That's where we're flying to, all right? And I think about my grandfather who passed away in June. Man, I'll never forget walking in and leaving that day. Man, that man was so confident and so ready to go home. And he would be the one, and my grandma as well, that would sit and talk. You know what my grandparents didn't do was sit and talk about how bad the government is. You know what they did? Spend their time saying, some glad morning, when this life is over, I'll fly away. Why? Because they weren't set on viewing on what was happening in the earth. They were more focused on what God was trying to do in the earth. And I thought, Lord, if there's anything I can receive from my grandparents in that generation, let it be that. That I have that kind of eternal focus in Jesus' name. And so he was ready. He said, grandson, I'm ready. I love you, but I got to go. Love you. See ya. And I know and confident he's in heaven and doing his thing in heaven, and I'll meet him there. But you know what scripture talks to us about? Wear this life like a loose garment. Don't wear it tight, but wear it loose. Why? Because when you wear it loose, you have the perspective and the understanding that I'm not living for earth, I'm living for heaven. So wear it loosely, everybody, because earth is not our home. But while we're on this earth, God is saying, I've called you to make an impact, leave a legacy, populate heaven, empty hell. That's our responsibility in reaching the gospel in this generation. Every man, amen, everybody. The blessed hope. You know what it is? It's the second coming of Jesus. And I love the scripture. It also talks about that we grieve not like the rest of men who have no hope. That's why when you know Jesus, and that's why you want friends and family to know him, when we have that hope and know him personally, we are confident and we get that promise that we'll see him again in heaven. Last one, and I'm going to pray, and that's God's place. God's place. Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. John 14, trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I am going there to prepare a place for you. At the end of the day, God is preparing a place for you. Come on, would you bow your head where you're at? I want to pray over you this morning. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you that you are in this place with us this morning. And Father, I pray right now, Lord, for every person who is discouraged, who has lost hope, maybe with a marriage, maybe with a child, maybe with a job situation. Jesus, you are the anchor of our life. And so, Lord, I'm asking you this morning that you would anchor the souls of the most generous people I've ever met in my life in this place. And I'm asking you, God, to deposit hope in every heart and every life this morning. Because, God, just one second, in your presence is all we need. Thank you for your presence here this morning. Thank you for hope. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, and even in our suffering, you're developing something in us. So give us hope today, oh God. I pray in the name of Jesus today. With every head bowed and all eyes closed, I want to give an opportunity before we leave this place. If you want to experience that hope personally, you most certainly can. Because salvation is free. God sent his son. What Christmas is all about is God sending the greatest gift that we could ever receive, and that's Jesus. And this morning, if you don't know Jesus personally, or maybe you don't have a relationship with him, I want to give you an opportunity. Before we leave this place, we're going to pray together as a church. And on the count of three, I just want you to be bold. Forget about who's on your right and your left. This is about you and God. Come on, and if that's you all over this place, come on, it's time. He loves you. He loves you. One, two, three. Come on, shoot your hand up. Say, man, that's me. Yeah, gotcha. 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 Yeah, we're in the back. Gotcha. Awesome. Awesome. Come on, anybody else that says, man, that's me. I'm going to put him first. Putting him first. Putting him first. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, church, let's pray. With them, if you raise your hand, just pray this from your heart. Mean it from everything within you. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. Thank you for loving me. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of my past. Fill me with your spirit so that I will serve you all the days of my life. I give you everything, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.